about time to start our hearing. This is a public hearing being held on January 28, 2020, case number CZTA21-3-1, request from the City of Katy's for zoning text amendment. At this time, I will turn it over to our lawyer, Mr. Stephen Underwood.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There was a publication notifying that this was going to be a public hearing, followed by a called meeting of the Katy's Trigg County Planning Commission for tonight, March the 25th at 6 o'clock. The reason for the public hearing is that by statute, and this will be explained in more detail during the staff presentation, but when the City of Katy's is considering the adoption of an ordinance that amends the text of the zoning ordinance of the City of Katy's, it's required by statute, KRS 100.211, which Mr. Britton will talk more about in a moment, but it is required by statute that the Planning Commission conduct a public hearing and take all input. Can it be heard okay?
It could be better.
A little better?
Yeah.
Thank you. So the Planning Commission is having its meeting tonight, first for a public hearing, as I say, to be followed by a called meeting. Both the notice of the public hearing and the notice of the called meeting were published, and also the staff report that's going to be considered by the Planning Commission tonight with regards to this matter has also been made publicly available for about a week now, so everyone can inspect that if they want to. The staff report is here if you need a copy of that. The proposed ordinance is here if you want to take a review of that. As Mr. Britton will explain to you, statutorily we're here because of 100.211, and specifically as a text amendment. It is not a hearing on a specific location. It's not a hearing on any specific application. It is a hearing on a text amendment that would, if passed by the City Council, amend the zoning text to allow for physicians, doctors' offices in R1, R2 zones in the City of Katy's, if passed by the City Council. This is not a legislative body. It will not adopt anything that would be binding on the property owner that falls to the City of Katy's. But we will, after this hearing and tonight, then make a recommendation to the City Council, and then the City Council would vote the proposed ordinance at that time up or down. And then what happens after that depends on City Council action. Be glad to entertain any questions. I just wanted to make real sure that we understand that we're not talking about any specific property or any specific address. Sir?
Can you tell us where R1 and R2, where they start?
Yes, sir. We brought the map back in the back. Okay? We would ask that when you ask to speak following Mr. Britton's presentation, that you come to this central mic right here. The proceedings are being recorded, and we would respectfully ask that you give us your name and your address, and then you're welcome to address the commission at that time. The commissioners have microphones available to them. If they want to ask you any questions, then that would be the time for them to do that. Okay? Any questions about what we're doing? We're glad you're here. We don't have a timeline that says we're going to adjourn at a specific time. I would ask you, if you speak, please be mindful of other speakers so we can move along. But whatever you want this commission to hear concerning this potential ordinance, again, not to any one individual, as to this ordinance in R1 and R2 zone districts in the City of Katy's, we're here to hear you tonight. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. The next person to speak will be... The next person will be Mr. Britton. He is from... I'll let him explain.
Yes, sir.
Is that on, Brother Tim?
All right, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I'm Tom Britton with Community and Development Services.
We were asked by the commission, specifically your chairman, to provide a report and review of the proposed text amendment. For your record, I'm going to read the proposal, and this is CZTA 213-1. The purpose of the public hearing is to receive comments on a proposed amendment to the City of Katy zoning ordinance, City of Katy's Kentucky Code of Ordinances, Chapter 151. The proposal would amend Section 151.050A3 to add physician's office to the listing of conditional uses in the R1 and R2 districts, and Section 151.050D2 to correct a typographical error. The proposed amendment was submitted to the Katy City Council, or by the city, by the Katy City Council to the Katy's Tree County Planning Commission for a public hearing and recommendation pursuant to KRS 100.211. Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, and was included in your packets a copy of the report. As Mr. Underwood stated, we have made available a copy for the public. We delivered that to the City Hall last week. We do have some additional copies on the table in the back if anyone wants to grab one. I will start out by saying the text amendment as presented is fairly simple and straightforward. It adds two words to the text of the City of Katy's Code of Ordinances, specifically the zoning ordinance, to add physician's office to the listing of conditional uses allowable potentially in the R1 and R2 district. The other correction is a simple typographical correction in subsection D. In reviewing the text amendment, the state statutes provide the parameters for that review. Under KRS 100, KRS 100 sets the functions of the Planning Commission as well as the City Council and specifies those responsibilities. The Planning Commission is responsible for making a recommendation to the City Council on proposed text amendments to the zoning ordinance, but ultimately it is the City Council that makes a determination on whether to adopt that amendment or not. If you look at the report on page 1, we included a summary of the basis of review. KRS 100 sets out the parameters of how we look at potential amendments, whether they're map amendments or text amendments. For map amendments, KRS 100 has very specific criteria and findings that commissions have to make. For text amendments, the statute is a little less precise. However, it's generally accepted in Kentucky that text amendments are reviewed in light of the comprehensive plan for the city. Also, with text amendments, it's customary to look at the existing ordinance to see if the text amendment being proposed is consistent with the general tenor of the existing ordinance or whether it creates other conflicts. Finally, from the standpoint of review, it's also customary to take a look at the benefits, consequences of the potential amendments and what safeguards are in place in the ordinance to prohibit nuisances or prevent unforeseen or adverse consequence. On page 2 of the report, we start out with a review of the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan does not contain that we could find the term physician or physician's offices. However, there are a couple of references to medical facilities or medical uses within the existing comprehensive plan. The first we noted was a public survey that was conducted as part of the 2002 comprehensive plan. Medical facilities and the need for improved medical care in Katy's was identified as a top priority. Also, in the goals and objectives, under item 2 there, it identifies need to improve access to medical facilities in the City of Katy's as well as Trigg County. The comprehensive plan also talks about the preferred relationship of uses, specifically in the land use element, as it relates to uses within the city and how those uses interact. Some comprehensive plans are very specific, some are general. From the standpoint of Katy's Trigg County, there is some fairly specific guidance given. It indicates that in the residential areas, primary and preferred use is single family. However, if you look at point 3 under land use guidelines, the potential or the possibility for non-residential uses could be a consideration provided that adverse impacts would be mitigated. So from the standpoint of the comprehensive plan, medical uses are identified as a priority. Number two, it's identified in the goals and objectives as a need for the city. And number three, it is identified as a potential or the potential for non-residential uses within the residential areas. On page three of the report, we looked at the existing zoning ordinance for Cadiz. In the R1 and R2 districts, the primary land uses are single-family and multifamily. The ordinance does provide the potential for about a dozen conditional uses, including notably hospitals as well as nursing homes. In looking at the proposed amendment from the standpoint of whether it's consistent with the tenor, we note that medical offices are customary as well as incidental to these types of uses. Appropriateness and consequences, we've included on page four a listing of trip generation characteristics for various uses. If you look at medical offices, the average generation is approximately 36 trips per day for 1,000 square feet of gross floor area. Mr. Chairman, this mask is killing me. Got to catch my breath for one second. When you look at the generation potential for different uses within the R1 district, comparing them, medical offices generally generate about 36 trips per 1,000 square feet of floor area. Single-family uses generate about 9.5. So 2,500 square feet of medical office equals about 100 trips per day, which is equal to about 10 or so, 9 or 10 residential types of units. If you look at the trip generations we've included in the report, if you look at upper-end commercial, physicians' offices typically are fractional from the standpoint of what other commercial uses generate. They're more intense than residential slightly, but a lot less intense than other types of commercial. We also note in here that from the standpoint of office uses, typically less signage, less parking, less other characteristics than other types of commercial. In concluding this particular review, we're looking at the entirety of the R1 and the R2 district. There are many lots within the R1, R2 district that this particular use, adding physicians' offices, would not be appropriate. And they would not be appropriate due to the characteristics of that proposed use, the size, orientation, etc. There are certain instances where, based on the intensity, based on that lot, based on its location, it may be appropriate. So in conclusion, might not be appropriate for many lots, could be appropriate for some lots. It just depends how big and where. The safeguard that is included in the amendment is a conditional use. Under your zoning ordinance, you have different types of uses. You have uses permitted by right, which means the use is allowable in the district as an administrative permit. Conditional uses are types of uses that may or may not be appropriate, and they require a special permit, which is a review by the Board of Zoning Adjustment to determine if it's compatible. That requires a public hearing, public notice. The board has to make quasi-judicial findings of fact before that permit's issued. Also, from the standpoint of conditional use, that board can put special restrictions on that particular use to mitigate adverse impacts. We think, from the standpoint of what is being proposed, it's generally in agreement with your comprehensive plan. We couldn't find a provision which said no. In fact, the provisions we identified indicated it's a priority, a community policy, as well as in the land use goals and objectives, provisions that would allow it within the residential areas. From the standpoint of the zoning ordinance, The proposed amendment is within the reasonable tenor of the zoning ordinance in that other medical uses are allowed. Finally, from the standpoint of the safeguards imposed, the proposal from the city council isn't to allow this by right, but to allow this by conditional use. We did note on page 4 where we had some cautionary items. One of the things that is not in your ordinance that the city council may want to consider at some point is putting in specific criteria for conditional uses. Katie's ordinance didn't appear to have that, and that's not unusual. There are a lot of communities in this area that do not, but a lot do, and at some point the council may want to consider that as an addition. In conclusion, and again, this is not property specific. We're talking text amendment, large zone areas. We're not making a recommendation, but we do conclude that there is sufficient justification to warrant amendment if so chosen by the city council. Mr. Chairman, I am sorry I lost my breath, but this mask is... if the commission has any questions, be happy to answer them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
At this time,
the floor would be open at this time for the commission to receive comments. I would ask you, if you speak and then you want to speak a second time, if you would consider waiting until everyone has spoken once and then come again. I don't necessarily require the recognition by the chair for you to come speak. The mic is open. And at your pleasure, you're welcome to come address the commission. Again, please, your name and your address. And of course, we're keeping minutes and we're keeping a record. The floor is open.
I'm sorry, I can't speak through this very well. My name is Nancy Fink. I live at 158 Glendale Drive in Katy's, Kentucky. And I know this is about the ordinance, but we all know what it's about. It's about the medical clinic at the flower shop that the Patels have gotten. Okay. We have a hard time keeping doctors in Katy's as it is. This is not something we should be debating or even worrying about. There was a flower shop there. I know that it stated that it expired in a year, that ordinance or whatever the plan was. But it has been there before. The traffic is not going to be hardly anything. I can tell you now, Mrs. Patel is my doctor. Okay, I know what she has coming through there. Okay, I will tell you that I have seen many, many comments all over, and the residents of the city of Katy's are for the Patels, and they are for this ordinance to be changed so they can get that clinic there and serve the public here. I thank you for hearing what I have to say. I have never done this in my life before, and I'm 72 years old. So I really hope you listen to the residents. Thank you.
My name is Nell Weir. I live at 865 Summit Point in Katy's. I, like this lady, have a personal interest because I'm a patient of the Patels. And I rise and stand in favor of their request. And I would ask this commission to do everything they can to approve this proposed amendment and to pass it on to the city council so that the Patels can go ahead, get their property renovated, and open their practice there. They're a valuable asset to this community. Thank you.
My name is Emmanuel Brown. I live at 171 Main Street. I've lived here in Katy's for 47 years. There's been doctor's offices on up and down Main Street. There's been a lot of doctors that have come to Katy's and not been treated very well, so they left. This is a small town. It's hard to get doctors, good doctors, to come in and to take care of the people in Katy's. Older people like myself get tired of having to drive to Paducah or Murray or somewhere to see a doctor when you could see one right here in Katy's. I think this is the easiest way to run people, run good doctors out of Katy's, and if we do this, it's going to be hard for us to get anybody else to replace them, because when they read all the headlines of what happened, of us not allowing a doctor to have an office on Main Street, it's going to be hard to replace them. So I am definitely, even though I live right on Main Street, I'm in favor of having a doctor's office on Main Street, because I don't think it'll be, I know there wouldn't be a traffic problem. Shouldn't be any other kind of problem. So, thank you.
My name's Tim Wagner, 310 Monitor Springs Road here in Katy's. The Vattels are not my physicians. But what I can tell you was them coming to this community is the basis, if you think about it, of this community. They came here to provide a service. What does ultimately that do? That provides liberty for each individual in this room. It provides freedom for each individual in this room. For this to even come to a question needs to be looked at. Because you have two people that are thought highly of in this community. You have several people here that are patients of theirs. When Dr. Bill Anderson passed away, this community lost a good doctor. We have been in need of a doctor. Many times, I'm a pilot with AeroVac. Many times I fly into the hospital, and I cannot tell you the number of times that I have gone there and I have seen people in this community that are hurting, loss of a loved one, or having a pain from watching their loved one fly away. A lot of those things will be minimized if you have qualified doctors in the community. To deny them this right is essentially denying them liberty, which many men and many women have shed blood to give.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Todd Wallace, and my wife, Melissa, sitting behind me here, and I are in the process of renovating 109 Main Street, probably known by most Street Countyans as the Pink House. We plan for this to be our long-term residence, and we are attempting to complete this restoration, keeping the historical nature of the property intact, and we hope that when we're completed, it will be an asset to the Katy's Residential Historic District. I grew up in Trigg County, but I've lived in Texas for more than 30 years and just recently moved back home. I recently served on the Planning and Zoning Commission for our small town in Texas, so I know firsthand what a thankless and difficult job you have. So thank you for your service to our community. The issue that's being discussed tonight, while it sounds minor, has a significant impact. Making changes to the zoning regulation in order to accommodate a single property is less than ideal. Despite the staff report that indicates that this change is not about a single property, why are we being disingenuous here? That statement couldn't be further from the truth, has been alluded to by everyone that stood up here so far. This change is not about increasing the number of physicians' offices in the community. It is specific to accommodate a property on Main Street. Our resources within the historic district are finite. We should not be taking actions that reduce the number of residential properties that are part of that district. Now, I know that the argument's been made that this has never been a home. I totally understand that. but that doesn't mean that it can't be renovated to be one and be a vital part of the residential historic district. I've seen it happen with plenty of churches, schoolhouses, other buildings that were originally non-residential. I'm in the process of doing it with a property that was basically uninhabitable just late last year. So the argument here in the staff report is that a physician's office is equal to a hospital or a nursing home. That is a false equivalence. It is highly unlikely that in this day and age, a hospital or nursing home could be opened in a small building in a residential district, given the access and building codes required by law. By adding this phrase to the zoning ordinance, we are treading on a very slippery slope, particularly in a historic district that is not mentioned one time in this report. It does make a difference if we want to encourage others to take on the projects, the magnitude of which my wife and I are doing right now. One of the complaints that I've heard about Main Street since moving back is that some owners don't take pride in their homes, they don't take care of them, and they've let them become run down. So by making this change, are we actually incentivizing investment in these homes or any others in our community by creating the potential for a commercial establishment to move in next door to a family home? And the answer to that is simply no. The staff report indicates that four times the traffic that this usage would create versus a single-family home. So on our main street, this proposed usage creates even more traffic and more congestion that we already have, where kids walk home every day, where I see neighbors out exercising. I can tell you from experience over the last few months and from the traffic noise that starts about 5 a.m., that very few automobiles and trucks follow the 35-mile-per-hour speed limit on Main Street. I believe that this has to factor into your considerations from a safety standpoint. We don't disagree with the comprehensive plan's goal to provide improved medical care and increased health care to our community. We know that is vitally important. But it simply does not make sense to try to wedge a square peg into a round hole. Does it concern anyone else here that this proposal for this zoning adjustment is in order to accommodate one specific property, despite what is being said? Look around. Most of you are here because of a specific use. I guarantee you, based on my own personal experience, nobody comes to a planning commission meeting on a Thursday night for fun. Without the specific property in question, none of us would be here at this meeting. However, by doing so, and by adding the phrase physician's offices to the residential zoning conditional use, you are opening the door for any home in any residential area in Cadiz. So for all of you, please think about the impact of this in your own neighborhood and on your own street. Today, this particular use is for doctors that we know and love and who've been a part of our community. I'm certain that they honestly have the best interest of our community in mind, and I don't want to do anything to try to question that. But what happens when someone purchases a house in your neighborhood to turn it into a medical marijuana facility? Now, I know it's not even legal in Kentucky yet, but I grew up here when you had to go to Gracie to buy beer, so don't tell me that it's not possible. What about the scenario where a pro-life or pro-choice movement purchases a house in your neighborhood in order to allow for elective termination of a pregnancy? I'm not saying that people are lining up to do this, but the addition to the text would create that potential. In both of these instances, physicians would be on staff. So how could that usage be denied when you've already established a precedent? So when I say this is a slippery slope, I think you can see that rationale. The change that's being proposed for this single instance could bleed out into the community and have significant unintended consequences. As a Planning Commission member, I know you take your responsibility to the community seriously, and that's a reason why there have been very few changes to the residential zoning exceptions. It should be your mission to be concerned about the community and not an individual property owner. This change does not create additional medical services, it merely moves them. Should this pass, ultimately depending on the outcome of the Board of Adjustment's decisions about use of property, it could even reduce the services the hours of operation, the patient volume offered. Again, that would bring us back to a less than optimal situation for both the physicians and the community. On just one last note, there's been a group of volunteers in Trigg County that have organized through Mark C. Thomas via Facebook to make Trigg County back to beautiful. This group has cleaned miles of roadways throughout the county, should be commended for their efforts. This is one of the very positive impacts that Facebook can have on our community. Unfortunately, social media can also serve as a tool to spread disinformation and uninformed opinions about topics like the ones being discussed here tonight. I do hope that our commission will look at this from a factual basis and apply logic that benefits our community, not a single specific usage instance, and certainly not based on misinformation spread through social media. Over the last several months, I've been very blessed to connect with friends from years ago through the renovation that we have going on. My concerns that are presented here tonight are based on issues that I have personally seen crop up in instances just like this. Unintended consequences from a decision trying to do the right thing can have long-term ramifications for our community. The residential historic district is an enormous asset to our community, and we should carefully consider the impacts this proposed simple text change can have both tomorrow and years down the road. I would even argue that this district should be held to a higher standard for zoning changes than perhaps any other. In this instance, you just simply cannot separate this change from the intended outcome of this specific piece of property. Thank you all for your time and consideration.
My name is Dr. Lauren Wagoner. I live at 6590 Canton Road, Katy's. I would like for the commission and everybody here to just take a look at number 3 that's on page 2 and look at the scope of the uses that are conditional that would be voted on by the commission. Churches, parish houses, libraries, schools, public parks, public non-commercial public recreational facilities, municipal, county, state, and federal use, public utilities, funeral homes, cemeteries, fraternity and other sorority houses, nurses' homes, nursing homes, hospitals for human care, philanthropic institutions and clubs, except a club which the chief activity is customarily carried on in a business. Animal or poultry farms, kennels, bed and breakfast establishments. My opinion is that physician offices was simply an oversight made by when this was written up. It is up to you as commissioners to determine which of these things are allowed in any specific situation. So to leave out physicians' offices in a situation like this, where just think of the scope from farms to places of worship, is a possibility in this area. And to not have physician offices on here is asinine. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Nathan Judy. My address is 133 Cherokee Court, Katy's. I recently retired from Bechtel, and before that, I retired from the military. As a result, it was very difficult for me to figure out where I wanted to live. I knew I needed to come back home. So I chose the place where I learned to ski when I was 10 years old in 1960. I also chose this place because the first thing I saw when I came into town was a hospital. At 71 years old, I can't afford to run to Fort Campbell every time I have a major problem. And because I chose to live here, I was fortunate enough to get some recommendations from some doctors to get a pain manager or a primary care doctor. Dr. Patel is my primary care doctor. As a result of their work, I'm here today because I recently had a pretty bad heart attack, and they helped get me put back together. I was at the auction when that house was sold up on the street, and there was nothing that I was given, none of the documents that was made available on the sale at that auction indicated that you would not be able to use this facility as a doctor's office. It's been renovated to the point to where it doesn't comply with any of the codes for historic homes. That part's null and void. You can't fix that. One of the things I think you should consider in your discussion amongst the commissioners should be requiring a disclosure with the real estate companies in this area so that they can say, hey, look, these are the limits of what this property is capable of providing for you, because living all over the world, I've found that there's disclosures has saved me a lot of heartburn. And when I bought on the lake, there was no disclosure on what was going to happen with the Corps of Engineers. That was all a great big surprise. So when you include these decisions, include this real estate part of this. Had they known that this is going to be a problem, I'm sure they would have never made this purchase. So please keep that in consideration. Thank you for your time.
My name is Lauren Lane. I live at 43 Jackie Alexander Road. Over the past few weeks, I've been getting a list of names together of people, whether they are in support of this doctor's office being added to this ordinance or they're not in support. Over the past few weeks, I've gotten several, and I have 389 names of people that are in support of this and 4 names of people that are not in support. Thank you.
My name is Debbie Birdsong. My address is 190 Cliffwood Drive, Cadiz. These two doctors have helped me so much in my old age, in my medical. He's helped me with my blood pressure. She helped me get my diabetes under control. And I'll tell you right now, I would go to Tree County Hospital before I'd ever go to Jenny Stewart because of these two doctors. I met her when I was in the hospital, and he scared me so bad that I got my A1C down from 14, actually it was off the chart, to 5.1 in 3 months. So, we need to keep these. I've lived in Cadiz all my life, and we spent the whole time squashing things. You can walk down Main Street, and there's nothing there but antique stores. There could be so much more here if we would just change some of our ways. Please, we need these doctors.
Hi, commissioners, everybody here. My name is Jessica Gandolfi, and I'm a nurse practitioner for the practice here. I'm not a resident of Cadiz, so I didn't plan to speak tonight. I currently live at 1725 Ellie Piper Circle in Clarksville, Tennessee. I'm sorry. But I grew up in a very small town, Dawson Springs, not far from here. So I know the limited access that providers to a small town and how much benefit they can bring to a small town. Personally, I don't think I've ever told them this, but once I graduated with my NP, I was going to move out west because there's more opportunities for nurse practitioners to provide care, less stipulations. Whenever I met with Dr. Patel, he gave me his vision of how he's always wanted to serve smaller communities, and that's why they ended up here in Troup County. Since then, we have expanded in Hopkinsville as well, and we want to continue to expand to serve these smaller communities as much as we can. And over the last year, I have seen the immense impact that they have had on all the residents here. I actually got to come down here for a few months and serve with Dr. V as we were trying to grow our practice a little more. And the significant impact that they have had on the small community goes a tremendous mile. And the only reason I stayed in this area was for the Patels and their vision to serve these communities. And so I highly recommend and suggest that y'all really take into consideration this ordinance. I know it's not just for our office, but it could affect the future. But whenever you think about it, it is a conditional use. So I know there's a lot of different conditional phrases listed within that list. I mean, fraternity houses, for instance. But that's the reason it's conditional. That way, the community still has a say into what goes into these buildings and these homes and these houses. So I ask you, please, just take into consideration and allow this ordinance to pass and take it to the committee, please. Thank you. Good evening. My name's Anita McDonald. I live in the Historic District in Katy's, Kentucky at 96 Main Street. I have some packets that I put together for the commissioners and the Board of Adjustments, and the Travises are going to pass those out. You don't have to read them now. It's just, it includes a petition from the Main Street residents, letters from residents on Main Street, a map of the Historic District of Katy's showing the non-conforming land use, and there's also an aerial photo of Main Street. I have the report that was prepared, which was based on the comprehensive plan, and I just wanted to kind of follow along. I really have no intention at all of trying to make this some kind of a personal issue, that it's the Main Street residents against the Patels. That shouldn't even be talked about at a public hearing where we're just changing the text of zoning in R1 and R2. The basis of review, the zoning text should complement and not be in conflict with the plan's goals and objectives. And this is your report. I'm just going to focus on your report. You should consider the harmony of the proposed amendment. You should consider the consequences, both positive and negative, to affected properties and the city as a whole. Not just one piece of property on Main Street. We're talking about, once this text is changed, it doesn't just affect Main Street, it affects the entire residential area of Katy's, Kentucky. Conformity with the comprehensive plan. This comprehensive plan is 20 years old, and I'm quite sure that even though it has not been revised, I'm sure it's been reviewed, but I'm not sure it's been revised in 20 years, but I'm quite sure it's still very relative, the issues that were brought out 20 years ago, because the town has really not grown. Things have not changed a whole lot. However, that being said, I think it's very important that our planning commission update our comprehensive plan. And I know I served on the Board of Adjustments with the Planning Commission, and I left, I think it's been 3 years ago, and at that time there was discussion, and I don't know where they are in this, but I do urge you to do this.
So I looked at the objectives that were stated in the comprehensive plan. And I'm not going to read them because you all have the report. You can read them. But I thought it was interesting when I looked at the objectives in this report that they somehow differed with the actual public forum that took place 20 years ago. And that's what I want to read from now, because this is accurate. This came from your website. The community needs more industrial development yielding higher paying jobs. That's still true today. That was the number one. Number two, the community needs more and better healthcare opportunities, including enhanced emergency services. So that's relevant to what we're talking about now. And I think that the emergency services have been improved dramatically. Services at the hospital have been improved dramatically. They do surgeries, they can do CT scans, they have mammography. But let's not forget that Tripp County Hospital, I mean, we have to have it, but it is a critical care access hospital. It is a place where we can go if we're, you know, not suffering a heart attack. I mean, the idea is to stabilize and transport. If you have a pneumonia, if you have some type of infection, yes, it's appropriate. But our hospital is a wonderful swing bed program, wonderful emergency room, wonderful doctors. And we have to, I know for myself, I'm grateful. And getting back to needing more healthcare opportunities, since I've lived here, and I've lived here for 10 years in a historic home, I've put a lot of money into that home, and I'm very proud of it. Since that time, primary care has been moved to what used to be the old Methodist Church, and it's a beautiful facility. We also have physical therapy in that building. We also have a nurse practitioner, Holly McCormick, who opened a practice up across the street. We also have Humphreys Physical Therapy. And most recently, we have an orthopedic clinic that has opened up on Canton Pike. So I do believe that we have enhanced medical care, and I'm grateful for that. I've used these services myself. The next item of high importance coming from the comprehensive plan. The community has traffic problems that need to be addressed. For example, along Main Street, where connector roadways might ease congestion. There are problems in the community with trash and property maintenance. The community needs to increase and preserve tourism as a valuable resource, making wise use of its downtown, lakes, and other resources. And then there were some other issues, but they really did not receive any points or any weight. But I thought it was interesting that it said the aesthetics of business and residential areas needs to be enhanced. A lot of us on Main Street have put a lot of money into our homes, and I know the Wallaces are doing a major, major renovation. They live right across the street from this piece of property that we're all trying not to talk about. But another issue on the comprehensive plan from 20 years ago, the community has problems with incompatible land uses being located adjacent to each other, and also property rights need to be preserved. I wanted to talk about the land use guidelines. And this is in the report that was provided. It is on page 2 of 5, and it says land use guidelines. While primary land use is single family, I'm not going to read it all, but it says possibly non-residential uses where the character of the surrounding neighborhood is maintained. I think we haven't really talked too much about the fact that this section of Main Street has been designated by the National Register as a historic place. That was back in 1989. So the impact of putting in doctor's offices, not just one, two, three, could actually change the whole face of Main Street and other streets in residential areas in Cadiz. Under Section 100.187, Contents of Comprehensive Plan, number 6, the comprehensive plan may include any additional elements, including historic preservation. And that's my main concern. And I know that this property, in 1989, when Main Street became a part of the Main Street program, the funeral home, the church, and the floral shop were in business. And so the map, and you have this in your packet, commissioners, the map has those three properties lined to show that they are having non-conforming use, which means they didn't fit the model of the historic community. So, sadly, the floral shop went out of business and sat for years now, which means that it has lost its right to be commercial property. And I am deeply sorry and saddened that the Patels were not informed of this when they bought this property. I mean, that was their intent for use, and I get that. And it's horrible. It's a horrible mistake. I'm not going to go into harmony. I think that's been talked about, but the consequences, I think, are very important. This is on page 3 of 5. We need to keep in mind that our historical section in Cadiz is totally unique and unusual. When you meet somebody in Nashville or Clarksville and they say, "Where do you live?" and you say, "Cadiz, Kentucky," they always talk about the beautiful homes on Main Street. And I know the property is not historic that we're talking about. It could be residential. And under 100.201 ordinance, land use and zoning regulations may also be employed to protect airports, highways, blah, 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 historical districts. So I ask that you protect the historical district and the residents who have put, in my case, almost my life savings into renovating my home. Have a couple more comments and then I'll give the podium to someone else. The report does not really consider the traffic difference in physicians' offices and clinics, so I don't know how we can judge that, but our concerns are for increased traffic, parking, trying to back out onto Main Street. And last, I want to say that I know the Patels have been a great asset to the community, and they still are. I mean, they're still practicing at the hospital. But we're not really adding a medical clinic. We're just moving it away. from our existing medical center just down the street. So my question is, does that take away revenue from our hospital? Does that leave a clinic that's vacant, not bringing in rent? Would this be competing with the hospital? So changing the ordinance to allow physicians' offices in a residential area, does it really help our community, which I think has improved medical services? Or does it just benefit certain individuals, such as a buyer, a seller, a contractor? So please consider what these changes may result in 20, 30, 50 years down the road. It could really change the face of our little community. Thank you.
Actually live in Oak Grove, but I grew up in a very small town like here.
I'm sorry, your full name?
My name is Courtney Reese. Yes, I live in the 913 Van Buren in Oak Grove. I grew up in a holler on the other side of Kentucky. What the Patels are facing is exactly what happened in our small town, and not allowing them to move to a facility that would be easier access, better, helpful, in my opinion, is ridiculous. Knowing from what I have had to face in my small town, my grandma could not get the care that she needed due to people on the council like yourselves, not saying, you know, you guys or anything, but because certain people didn't allow it, people were not getting the care that they need. And these are amazing doctors. I can just tell somebody, I work for Dr. Patel, and they just tell amazing stories of him and his wife. So I don't see why it's a discussion on why you shouldn't allow them to move there, because it's still great care, they're bringing in revenue, and the people love them. They're the most amazing doctors I have seen so far. I don't work with Dr. V personally, I work for her husband, but she's one of the sweetest, kindest people. And if I could have had my grandparents closer, I would have trusted them with my grandparents. They're the most amazing people. I have not met a patient that doesn't like them. And I don't see why it's an issue. It's a building. As long as people are getting cared for, that's the only thing that a town should care about. Because if your people don't feel like they're getting the care that they're supposed to get, they will leave. So then you're losing out. And then you're just running away good doctors. I've seen it. I've seen it done before. Where I'm from, you either have to go to Oneida or you got to go all the way up to Lexington. And people can't afford that. I know what it is firsthand to see good doctors have to lose out because of certain people not wanting them to be there because they either have money or they just don't want to deal with everything. And I think that this place would be good for Dr. V and Dr. Patel. They're amazing doctors, and they have amazing team, they have amazing staff, and they care. I've never seen two doctors care more about their patients. So I hope with everybody that has spoken here about the doctors and about the care that you guys allow them to move to the spot that they bought. Because it's sad that you guys did not inform them that this was going to happen. Because basically, it's like there's no say about it. It was wrong in my opinion. Why let somebody buy a property that they can't really move into because they got to jump through hoops to get to it? These are two amazing doctors, and they deserve to have their spot that they paid for without the notice that they couldn't move in without having to go through all these hoops. Thank you.
Anyone
My name's Kenneth Travis. I live at 124 Main Street. I told some people I wouldn't speak tonight, but I was afraid I was lying when I said that. When they established the historical district here in Cadiz, there was three businesses: the church, Cadiz Baptist Church, Goodman's, and the other funeral home that was on that thing. And they were grandfathered in. That's what you should do. You establish something, you don't want to hurt somebody that's in there operating. Well, when the business closed, they lost their commercial status, but they were misrepresented at that auction when the Patels bought it. They were told that it was a commercial lot, and anybody could look and see that it wasn't. Well, now this whole thing here is about trying to cover up for when people did some wrong things there. So now we're going to run around and do all this to cover that. There's a lot of things we could do for the hotels, and a lot of things I would like to see us do. I would like to help them. We do a GoFundMe. But the first thing they need to do is get their money back, where that was, and they can get it back. And I'm pretty sure Chapel will tell you, when you misrepresent something and sell something, you get back damages too. So I don't want anybody in here thinking that we're doing anybody wrong. We're just trying to follow the rules. I've been living on Main Street in the historical district for 30 years. And all that time, I thought I was going to be able to follow the rules. I've read the rules. I know the rules about Main Street and the historical district. And I don't think we need to change all that to cover up for where somebody mistreated them, did them wrong. But I think there's other things we can do besides giving them that spot.
Hello, my name is Dr. Herschel Patel. I was really reluctant getting up here today. I don't know what to say. I'm not used to these things. I'm a physician and not a politician, nor am I in any of the committees or anything of that nature. Maybe I should get involved into this, learn about these. So here it goes. Mr. Commissioner and committee members and residents of the Cadiz City and city residents of Main Street. First and foremost, I think I would like to begin with saying the origin of the idea of even having an office that has adopted its name that says Drake County Medical Clinic. Not anything else, not a Hopkinsville clinic, not a Christian County clinic, not a Western Kentucky clinic, Drake County Medical Clinic. So my office, we accepted that name primarily because I knew that my goal was to serve a smaller community and where I wanted to be. And this all began in 2014 when Dr. Pavan was retiring on where they had a Cadiz clinic by where the hair salon is, by the street, Main Street. I came to that facility, I looked at it, building wasn't renovated. It was 200 years old, or what? I'm sorry, exaggerating, but it was several years old. It wasn't equipped to accommodate a medical clinic. Luckily, I was approached by a hospital, and they said, "Would you like to open up an office here?" I said, "Absolutely." And even at that time, I had said the same thing sitting in the boardroom, and that I would say today. The whole purpose for me to open up a clinic in a smaller town such as Cadiz was to actually satisfy my wife, Dr. V. Patel's dream. At one point in life, she had always told me, before we even got married, she had always told me that her goal in life to serve a smaller community where there's a lack of medical support, lack of healthcare, and that's one of the primary reasons we opened up. Could I have opened up at that point in Hopkinsville, Kentucky? Absolutely. My whole family, friends, the support group, my whole group is Hopkinsville. So I could have easily opened up an office in 2014. And so I want the Planning and Zoning Commission to take that into consideration, that the whole purpose for my existence in this town is to solve a smaller community. Now, that being said, moving fast forward to about 5 years down the road, in that auction, I think several of the committee members and even several residents have pointed out, yes, it should have been pointed out, that it is not a zoning committee, it's not a what's the word? Commercial plot, and so on and so forth. However, the property was purchased in good faith, considering it has not been a house or residential in over 50 years. To my knowledge, I could be wrong. Forgive me if I am. So it was bought in good faith in order to support the our growing needs, and to have a place to call my own. Even today, not today, but up to recent years, I have so many patients, and my patients that are here, they can vouch for it. One of the questions I have always received is, what is your investment in this community that would make you stay here? Why should we trust you? Are you going to stay here or are you going to leave? That's the next question I was asked almost instantaneously after, how are you doing as a new patient? It has taken me 5 to 6 years to get recognition, to even people to know me. To people to know our clinic, know who we are, where we are, even where we are, up to a couple of years ago, not even a year, but up to a year ago, after I purchased the property, I had inquired some of the committee members here, and I asked them, like, and they had no idea who I was. The only reason I'm here today and I'm known, or even is because of this issue that was brought up. So, in any event. So my whole reason to purchase that property was in a good faith, where there has been there has not been any residential building in over 50 years. Yes, it was grandfathered in. Great, I understand that. However, the conforming use part was kind of a little confusing. I was assured that it should not be an issue. Anyway, I was misled. I hold no grudges. I don't say any. I don't have no bad words, nothing for any of, no ill will for any members or residents or any of them. I wouldn't want to, and I totally agree and I understand. I wouldn't want to open up an office where, my neighbors will be against me. That's just not how it's supposed to do. That's not how you do business. That's not how you, help and save community or provide health care. Our whole medical field is based on not on legality, it's on ethics. Do no harm. That's the first thing. If me being there is harming other residents, I don't, that's just kind of, it's hurt me in my soul. If that, if that counts for anything. Now going forward to, the conforming, some of the, zoning board adjustments, kind of permits that can be permitted is churches, worship places, nurses' homes, funeral homes, nursing homes, hospitals for human care. Yes, all of that can be allowed. However, medical practices are part of the hospital. Any hospital that builds these days, if you look at it, any big hospitals they have, they automatically have nurses. They all automatically have physicians' building included in that. So I don't know when this the rules and regulations or ordinance was written, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was thought process that may have been included in it. So that's something to consider. Other members who have spoken in front of the podium also mentioned, yes, there can be so many ill, first and foremost, traffic. Yes, let's address traffic. Yes, traffic can be increased by physician's office, absolutely. But would it be more than a nursing home? Would it be more than a hospital? Would it be more than a funeral home? Sorority houses, fraternity houses. If any of you guys know, sorority houses and fraternity houses are notorious for having parties and so on and so forth. They are allowed in this conditional use zone, I would, you know, I would highly suggest, you know, Planning and Zoning Committee definitely look at this and kind of decide from that standpoint if that should be included or not. Moving forward, one of the other points that were made is, yes, of course, you know, once again, forgive me, marijuana plant. After all, once again, we're not asking to change the entire zone of that building or the residential area or anything of that nature. We're not asking for that. We're asking for a conditional permit. So ultimately, if it comes down to that point where somebody comes up and say, hey, Planning and Zoning Committee Chairman, would you please grant me a permit so I can open up my marijuana clinic? Absolutely. They have. It is a physician's office. No, it's not a physician's office. It's a clinic. It's a marijuana clinic. Even if it's a physician's clinic, can that be turned down? Absolutely. Can, you know, and once again, right to live was brought up. Pro-choice, pro and abortion and whatnot, that was brought up. It's a small facility. Once again, it's also conditional use, and if needed, that amendment can be added to the fact that the use of it may be referred to even change to primary care office or something of that nature. No surgical suite, none of that can be made. I'm okay with that. That's not the ultimate plan. The plan is to provide the care of senior citizens who are having difficult time going all across to different facilities to seek primary care. Can other providers provide primary care? Yes. However, the complex care that can be provided by physicians cannot be matched by any other. It cannot be matched. It's just a fact. I'm just making it up. Any event, I think that's. I would highly recommend Planning and Zoning Committee to take consideration. Yes, there are, you know, there are several peoples pro it. There are several peoples against it. It can have a ramification in future, absolutely. But at that point, that can be addressed. It's a conditional permit. So ultimately, it boils down to the chairman of the chairman of the Planning and Zoning Committee, or even the whole committee itself. Or ultimately, it will boil down to the public community. Let the community decide when that happens. And it's a lesser of any of these facilities that I've mentioned. It's not a nursing home. It's not a it's not a funeral home. It's not a hospital for human care. Or I'm not opening up a farm there. So it's the original building doesn't even it's. The original historic building is not even there. It has been destroyed. It's renovated. Right now, currently, the state of the building is, it's not even a building. It's just a completely black hall. So I'm going to have to invest quite amount of money just to kind of set it up to conform to the use for my practice. But ultimately, that's my choice. That's my decision. I understand that. But I would urge the committee to reconsider. Consider changing the ordinance and think about the effect it's going to have to the community, especially from the healthcare standpoint. And that's pretty much it. Thank you, guys.
Good evening. My name is Frank Weir. I live at 865 Summit Point, Cadiz, Kentucky. You heard from my wife earlier, and I wasn't going to add anything to that, but I thought that I should take this opportunity. I've listened to people get up here and talk tonight, and it's been very interesting and it's been very informative. I think that most of the people that stand to approve this are really considering the community. I think they're considering the health and welfare of the citizens of Cadiz. I think that we have a couple here that have made a major investment and are willing to invest a lot more money, a lot more time, a lot more effort and build a practice that will benefit the whole community, even the people living in the historic district. The people that have spoken in opposition are really concerned about what I would be concerned about as well, and that is their private needs. They've made an investment. They want to see their houses improve in value and to improve that area of the town that is the historic district. But I'm more concerned about the investment that the Patels are making. And I think that that investment benefits everyone. And you never know when you're going to need their facilities being here. I don't think that their making that into a doctor's office is going to detract anything at all from the community around them. I don't think it takes away from this gentleman's house or from this lady's house. There's been businesses there before, or at least one. The traffic that they will receive is not going to increase or decrease the traffic on Main Street. But I think that other people that might be considering a move to Katy's in the future, there are certain things that those businesses look for. They look for educational facilities, and our schools are excellent. They look for medical facilities, and I think that the Patels, are going to do nothing but increase and enhance the medical facilities in this community, which should be valuable to people considering Katy's for future. I think that my urge is that you consider making this one change to the text. I don't think it's going to do anything to create an onslaught of doctors moving into every community and every residential area. I think it's a valuable addition, and I thank you.
It's okay to take the mask off while I speak, just for a few minutes I'll speak. My name is Vaishali Patel. I'm Dr. Patel, and yes, I'm here in Katy since 2015. I've been practicing right next to the hospital in Medical Arts Building, and yes, it has been an investment, not just for the money. For 5 years, I have invested my hard work and my passion for the medicine. I have invested my love for this community enough that I feel like I am part of this community. I feel like I belong here. And with that purpose, we have decided to have our own building, which is more financially feasible. Yes, it is right. We can just simply practice there for the rest of our life. And, you know, just rent that building from the hospital. But from my perspective, is it financially feasible for us? I think anybody can answer that question for us, that no, it's not financially feasible. Thank you, everybody who voiced their opinion, and I really appreciate your presence here for your time and everything. It gives me an opportunity to answer everybody's question. As much as I can explain this and explain, and thank you, Planning Commission, for being here and for your time. But the other question somebody has brought up, that, you know, are we taking the revenue from the hospital or are we a competition from this hospital? My question, I wish I could explain this much better, but I'm trying to make it very, very short that, you know, I'm not a competition to the hospital. In this town, we are the only I'm the only full-time physician here. Yes, we have many providers here. Are they doctors? Are they full-time doctors?
or are they nurse practitioners? So we all know the difference between these two. Yes, they are very helpful for this community, and they have been, you know, providing great care for our people. But there are certain conditions that doctor being in this community is very important. And I do feel like I'm me being here, you know, people who are whose cases are more complicated or they need more expertise, I'm available. And I feel it's my pleasure to be that person to be able to provide that. So yes, we have so many providers, and we are very thankful for them. Having a full-time doctor is a very rare case in our town. Can I say our town? I think I can. Being a competition with the hospital, no, definitely not. Our nurse practitioners here, they have been great, they have been wonderful, and I really admire their care for the many patients that they have been providing. But still, there are some patients who will go out of town just to see the doctor because they it's just their beliefs and they have some reasons, and I'm nothing against them. It's just their faith in the doctors, and for their faith they would go out of Katy's. They'll go to Murray, Paducah, or even Hopkinsville. They don't mind going to that, you know, doing that commute, but it will definitely help them. If I'm here, I can keep there all the ancillary services to this hospital. I can keep everything local. In fact, people who come to see me, they'll go shop in the local historical district. So I want to stick to the topic that we are here for. I want to stick to the hearing that we are here for. And the hearing is about the ordinance passing. I'm here to request that, you know, we pass this ordinance to allow the medical building being that conditional for that conditional use. And yes, it is possible. If you look at it negatively, it is possible that if it can be used as a fraternity house, it can be used. If it can be used as an animal or poultry farms, then you know there is a possibility that somebody can go and grow a marijuana, or somebody can grow something else very illegally. It's a possibility if we always look at it that negative way, but that's why it's a conditional use, and our request for nothing permanent is completely conditional use, which you can always have yay or nay for the future. That's one thing. And I love this town. Yes, I have met so many people out of this town, and I talk about my town, that hey, this is where I work, and I love it. Love my work, love my passion for these people. And yes, and they are very impressed and amazed by this historical, you know, the downtown they talk about, and they have seen what they have seen in 1991 and, you know, 2001. But my question is, you know, where are we seeing ourselves in 2021? Or where are we seeing ourselves in the future? So, I guess, change is very hard, but change is the way to grow. Sometimes we have to make those hard decision. Yes, it's very hard. It's gonna, you know, some people feel like, you know, their historical value of the residence will go down. But if it does a greater good for the community, if it does a greater good for people here, it's definitely worth it. Because we looking for the future. Other than that, I work with the hospital very harmoniously. In fact, I work with their hospitalist team this week, and you know I'm always available to help them out. So there is nothing that I'm nothing against the hospital at all. I'm not taking anything away. In fact, I am keeping our patients here, and you know I'm helping the local business grow. So I hope everybody considers the broader picture. Everybody considers the greater good, and thank you for working on it, and thank you everybody who voiced their opinion. Thank you everybody for being here. Thank you so much.
Good evening. I'm Kay Wagoner. I live at 6590 Canton Road. 26 years ago, my husband and I built a home, and we moved to Trigg County. And I cannot say enough about Trigg County. I love it. We were born and raised in Central Kentucky, And that's fine. It's pretty there, but it's just as pretty here. We love living in Trigg County. I was a patient of Dr. Anderson until he passed away. Well, I needed to establish a primary doctor, and I thought, who am I going to get? Who am I going to get? Had two friends that recommended Dr. Patel. So on their recommendation, and I respect their opinion, I went, and I could not have been any more pleased than I was with her abilities and just responding to my questions. And she's just a wonderful person. And I'd like to add to so many others who have come up and spoken in favor of them. And I do hope that you do consider everything that has been said and that you do allow them to continue with their practice at this new location. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishes to speak?
Thank you, Bob. I'm Dan Schwartz. My wife and I live at 93 Main Street. We've been here for 37 years now. And I was just thinking, as Mrs. Patel was explaining herself a moment ago, the three laws of real estate that someone explained to me, which is location, location, location. And when that property was represented to you, doctors, that should have been up front, and apparently it wasn't. And I'm sorry for you in that. I echo what some of the others on Main Street have said. But we want you to stay, by the way.
Yes.
I don't want you to get the impression that the Main Street people would want you out. Not at all. You know, especially if I need your help. I want a doctor here. But we're concerned with our own properties. We've put funds into it. You've heard from both Anita and Todd, who are doing serious work on their properties. You know what they looked like before. You know what they're doing now. And we're wanting to protect our properties. But we want you to stay. We don't want you to go somewhere else. And so I'm hoping that there can be an equitable resolve to this. There are other properties, and maybe something can be done to recapture what was falsely represented to you, apparently, and make the other facilities that are available more reasonable to them. Stay with us. We want you here. Okay. Thank you, folks.
Is there anyone else? Okay. Now, I want you to understand.
My name's Colin Lancaster. I've lived in this Trigg County all 73 plus years of my life, 76 plus years of being left. I'm going to speak on behalf of Dr. Patel, because the 12th day of January, I went into the hospital with the COVID pneumonia. I had 50% going either direction. And through his staff and through him, was able to come today and speak on his behalf. And I urge council, everyone that's concerned, to bring him into his position, his building down here, and let him set up his practice in it. Thank you.
Is Is there anyone else? I'd like to clarify that what we're doing here ourselves, the Planning Commission, we're not making this came to us from the city of Katy's that they wanted to make this zoning change. And that's, and we have to have a public hearing, and then it is either passed on to them or there, it's not. Is there anything else, Mr. Underwood?
The agenda for the Planning Commission called meeting, which will convene after this hearing is closed, as soon as the chairman declares it to be closed, suggests maybe we take a break for a few minutes and then we'll reconvene. There is no additional public comment at that time necessarily. The reason for the public hearing is to have input. This body is either making a favorable recommendation of the ordinance as prepared by the city and returning it to the city with a favorable recommendation, or it is returning it to the city with an unfavorable recommendation. Okay? We'll make sure you understand the jurisdiction that this body has and doesn't have. It is not a vote up or down on a specific location. As we said before, beginning of the hearing back at 6 o'clock, it is a text amendment as to all R1 and all R2 zones. And then that will be the discussion that the commission will have. Then it is on its agenda to take action on that particular proposal. It will go through its regular meeting, approval of financials, and all those types of things. So I just want to make sure if you were really burning to say something and you just for some reason didn't do it, now's the time to do it. Because once the chair closes the hearing, then there's not going to be any additional at that particular time. Sir?
I think Craig Stallings ought to disqualify himself for all the stuff that he's put on the internet about this.
Well, we're going to let Mr. Stallings make his own decision on
that. Oh, he's already made his decision.
Sir, I'll respond in 1 second. You understand that all these commission members are not voting up or down. It's on a text amendment. It is the Board of Zoning Adjustment that sits like a quasi-judicial function. It's the Board of Zoning Adjustment that hears evidence and then votes on a specific proposal at a specific address. And this is not a BZA hearing. If Mr. Stallings wants to recuse himself, that's up to him. If in a BZA proceeding, I'll always tell BZA members, if you have formed or expressed an opinion and you cannot fairly hear the evidence, and then vote as a juror, quasi-judicial function, then you should not participate. This is not a judicial function. This is a text amendment, either favorable or unfavorable. I understand your comment. That's for Mr. Stallings to make that decision. I'm not going to advise the chair to disqualify because it's not a BZA procedure.
I didn't ask you that.
I understand. Any other questions or comments? Sir?
Because I've never been involved in politics ever, where does this go after this?
Well, if I can correct you just for a minute, this is not politics.
Okay.
It may have an aura of politics, but this isn't politics.
All right.
There's not a single person sitting on this body that went out in politics in order to be sitting on this body. These are people that have been appointed by the city or the county because you have a joint city-county planning unit.
Okay.
You're required by statute for a text amendment for the city, which is a member of the planning committee, to conduct this hearing. The city council makes the up or down vote to amend the text. There's nothing right now for BZA to do because the text does not include the description of physicians' offices in those listed conditional uses. There's nothing for BZA to do. If the city council says yes, we will amend the text of the zoning ordinance, there are two readings, publication, then BZA has something to act on. That's more trial-like. Okay, and that's where anybody, I always tell all BZA members, don't get lobbied, don't talk to anybody. Don't let somebody come to you and try to influence your vote in any way. It's just like a juror. That's the way I compare it to. So, I understand it may look like politics. It's not politics. It's a political body that's elected by the city that will make the decision whether or not to amend this ordinance. I understand that. But this is a very narrow function by a body that's constrained by Chapter 100 of the Kentucky Revised Statutes. And it says before we can have a text amendment, we send it to the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission gets all the public input through an announced meeting. It lets everyone that wants to speak, speak. I let everything that comes in, if somebody wants to introduce it, it's a public hearing. It's not a trial. Rules of evidence don't apply. Even things that are what we would call hearsay come in. Petitions are hearsay. Clearly, that's okay. This body will make a recommendation back to City Council. Then City Council will take its action. And until then, there's nothing further for BZA to do. There's nothing further for this board to do after it returns either a favorable or an unfavorable recommendation back to City Council. It has discharged its statutory responsibility under 100.211. And I hate to sound like a lawyer. I'm really not trying to, but that's your constraint. I mean, it's like guardrails.
So when did we find out the results that's going to be presented to the board?
Our action will occur tonight.
Pardon?
This board will convene tonight in its regular call meeting, special meeting, limited to the agenda. And I had this item added to the agenda. The board can vote on it tonight. That's their pleasure. And once this board votes, based on this public hearing and its staff report, then its responsibility toward this text amendment is over. It was City Council. Did I answer your question? Thank you. Any other questions, clarification? If there are no other speakers, Mr. Chair, you can close public hearing.
Okay. And I wanted to stress to you, too, we don't determine whether this text amendment is put into the, regulations of the city?
In the zoning ordinance.
In the zoning ordinance of the city. The city council does that. That's all. That's where that occurs. It's not with us. Okay. If there's nothing else from anybody, I will adjourn this meeting. The public hearing case number CZTA21-3-1, request for zoning text amendment from the City of Cadiz.